مرحبا يا مصطفى The grand arrival of مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم The grand arrival of مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم مرحبا يا مصطفى
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila, the Blessed Arrival. And by now I'm sure you must be knowing that we are discussing and we do discuss the different aspects from the life of our beloved master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, dear viewers of Madani channel, we do have a very interesting topic of discussion, a very important one actually, that is very essential in our lives for you and I to adopt. And we gain all of this from the beautiful seerah, from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So today, alhamdulillah, we are going to be discussing the forbearance of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to discuss this beautiful topic with me, I have in studio none other than our most honorable guest, Mawlana Naushad Attari, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
MashaAllah, how are you keeping, Munasab?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. And how is Munasab doing?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. MashaAllah, Munasab. Our topic, as I mentioned, it's a very important one. And that is regarding the forbearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as we go along, we are going to be mentioning some beautiful narrations, some beautiful incidents Inshallah. With regards to how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed forbearance. And together also, Munasab, we are going to be highlighting the definition of forbearance and its importance as well, how a person can adopt a forbearance also, inshallah. But for now, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that the person who recites salawat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, that person will find my shafa'a, my intercession on the day of Qiyamah. SubhanAllah. So let us also collectively, with full of love, send salawat upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, we are discussing the forbearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we go further and discuss further into this beautiful topic, I want to narrate to you a very beautiful incident that happened in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this actually, it shows and it displays the amount and the level of forbearance that our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. So Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she has mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bought a camel in exchange for a wasq. A wasq is, at that time, 540 pounds of dates. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived at his home for the dates, they were not found. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he returned to that Bedouin and said, Abdullah, we bought a camel in exchange for a wasq, but despite searching a lot, the wasq of dates could not be found. And the Bedouin heard this. He started crying aloud and he said, ah, I've been deceived. I've been deceived. And when the companions, alayhim ridwan, when they heard this, they rushed to reprimand this Bedouin and they said to him, you speak such things about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And to this, look at the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, leave him, because the person who has a rightful claim has the right to speak. And the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this twice or thrice. But despite the Bedouin being made to understand, he still didn't understand. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered the companions alayhim ridwan to go to Khawla binti Hakim and say that if you have a wask of dates, then give us and inshallah we will return it to you. So the companion went to Khawla binti Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anha and told her that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, if you have a wask of dates, give us, inshallah it will be returned to you. So she said that she did have some and asked him to send someone to fetch them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that take this Bedouin and give him the dates which are his due. When this Bedouin, when he returned with his dates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was present amongst his ashab, amongst his companions alayhim ridwan. And he said, Jazakallahu khayran. May Allah Azza wa Jal give you a good reward. You gave what was due to me in a very good manner. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that amongst the people, the best are those who give the whole share in a good manner. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So from here, the views of Madinah, we have noticed how forgiving and extremely kind and tolerant Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Despite having the power to take revenge, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave the one who accused him of denying the purchase in public. And he displayed such excellent manners. And from this, we also learn that during buying and during selling in business, one should be tolerant, truthful, and honest. If someone says something that is painful to the one who is either a salesman or a buyer, then in order to store good deeds for the hereafter, such a person should remain tolerant and patient over that. Subhanallah. And in one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that undoubtedly amongst you, the most beloved and closest to me in the hereafter will be that person who will have the best manners. And amongst you, the person I dislike the most and who will be very, very far away from me in the hereafter will be that person who has the worst of manners. Allahu Akbar. So, Murasab, subhanAllah, what a beautiful account this was. What a beautiful incident this was, which showed us how tolerant, how forbearant Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So, Murasab, in this regard, one may want to know, what does it truly mean? What does it truly take? And the true definition of being forbearant, of being tolerant, etc. How does a person define this, Munasab?
Well, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, forbearance, likewise tolerance, the ability to bear.
Right.
This is a great quality of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's also found amongst Anbiya alayhim salam. It's found amongst the Salihin, the pious predecessors. But when you want to see a complete example of this, you will find this in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Most definitely.
So we are lovers of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why don't we learn this aspect as well? The simple definition of forbearance is that a person suppresses their anger according to their nature. Now, anger is something which is a natural emotion.
Right.
Universally, it's a natural emotion. There would be something that would make an individual upset or angry. But what we are taught is that if you want to be angry at shaitan. If you want to be angry, be angry at doing sinful things, wrongdoings, evil deeds. That's where, you know, we must not bear.
Right.
We must bear, we must tolerate different people, their attitude. Sometimes a person may tell us something that will make us upset. There's a lovely saying. They say that you teach people how to treat you, how you react, how you communicate. You teach that person how they treat you.
Right.
So if something happens in my life, whether at school, at uni, at work, you know, wherever the setup is, now you are going to come across difficult people in your life.
Definitely.
That's how it is, right? You are going to come across people that are very temperamental. They get angry very quickly. And if two people they have this temperament that they get angry quickly, then there's a, you know, it doesn't end well. So this is something we need to build actually. It doesn't just happen.
Right.
That I need to build my tolerance levels. At the same time, I need to be assertive. Assertive is not about, you know, being proud and, you know, haughty. It's about standing up for yourself, not being manipulated by the other side.
Right.
Forbearing, tolerating. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, if we study the seerah, we study the sunnah, we'll get to understand how to build our tolerance levels.
Mm.
In fact, not only us, we need to teach these concepts to our children and the next generation as well.
So, Muhasab, on that note, right, children are young, right, compared to adults where they have the sense of understanding, etc. Whereas children, they are young. For them to adopt forbearance, how does that go about, Muhasab?
Well, a person, obviously, you have to train according to their level of understanding. Like, for example, if the two of them are fighting for one of their toys, one kid has a toy, the other child, maybe they want to play with that toy. So you try to also teach them conflict resolution. Why don't you give them for a few moments? At least they can lend you their toy. In this way, we can train their mind of tolerating and forbearing. Because the kids are going to go out there in the world.
Right.
And the world in many places is, you know, filled with people that take advantage of you, that make you angry, make you upset. And if you don't have this ability to bear difficulties, if you don't have, this is why, you know, we need to kind of expose the child to the outside world in the sense of training them and preparing them mentally that what to expect out there.
So they have it in their minds and in their knowledge.
Yes.
So this is what I have to expect.
Something also very important is, whatever the child is asking you, don't fulfill every single thing. Don't give them every single thing they want.
I think some parents find it very difficult to do that, Muhasab.
No, because a parent will feel like, hey, I'm going to be a bad parent if I don't. You know, small sweets and stuff is fine.
That's okay.
That's fine. There's no issue there. But if they want, hey, I want this toy. Okay, now I want this toy. I want this game. You know, this kind of thing, these kind of things. Right? Rather put in conditions that you need to work hard and smart, put in effort, you get good marks for your school and madrasa, then we'll talk about it. Don't even say, I'm going to give it to you.
We'll talk about
Then we'll discuss the matter.
Right.
Okay. So like this, because what this is doing is that if you give them every single time, everything that they desire, they have that expectation when they leave home, when they go to work. And now when they realize, hey, you know what, we're not getting everything that we want, they could end up getting depressed. They could end up getting, you know, suicidal thoughts as well. So it starts in the home. So this ability to bear, forbearance, tolerance must be taught in the home. And parents themselves have to act like grown-ups.
Right.
If the child is stubborn with you, you don't act stubborn with the child.
Yes.
If the child is screaming and shouting, you don't do the same. So you need to, you know, teach the proper adab. Even if they are shouting, they should not, of course. But you have to train their mind that, you know, if you respect your parents, it makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased.
Right.
If you disrespect your parents, you know, and this is how we also train our Madrasatul Madinah students in this way. No shouting, no screaming, no vulgarism and obscenities. That you have a choice. We tell the students, and you can tell your children also. And this is linked to forbearance, right?
Right.
That you have a choice. You want to choose the right way or the wrong way. What do you choose? The right way, at the end of that, is paradise, is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wrong way is the pleasure of shaitan, is jahannam in the fire. So all of them are going to see the right way.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So if you want, if you respect your parents, you please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You disrespect your parents, you please shaitan. So right way and wrong way. So this is psychologically training their mind that, you know what, even if their parent doesn't give them what they want, still, they must understand, either my parent can't afford it, or my parent is not giving me for my own good, something like this. That will help them and teach them to tolerate and forbearance as well.
Something positive.
Positive, always. Always inject positivity into their minds.
So they shouldn't even take that in a negative light, taking forbearance in a negative light, taking patience in a negative light, and being, you know, agitated with that.
You see, as they are growing up and they're getting more understanding,
right,
as they age, right, they will come to realize Hey, what my parents are teaching me is something that these tools I can use in my school, in the outside world. When they're very little, they're not going to completely understand it.
All right.
But if you continue with that tarbiyah, with that nurturing, with that training, then as they're growing, they're becoming more mentally mature, more of understanding, then they will realize that, hey, what my parents are teaching me is good for me, actually. And they will start using that in whichever setting they are in. So tolerance is something, unfortunately, is lacking in many people's lives.
100%.
Because we haven't built it.
Right.
We have to, it's not something I can just click my fingers and okay, hey, I'm tolerant now.
And it just happens all of a sudden.
It just happens. No, you have to build yourself. You have to build your patience as well.
Right.
Because that's part of being, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many things, so many people did so many harms to him.
Yes.
But never ever, as Sayyidah Lady Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha had mentioned in the summary of the hadith, that he never ever took revenge for anything done against his personal
Allah
self.
Allah.
Only if the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were violated, then he would put things right.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And also, you've mentioned something so beautiful and so profound regarding the definition of forbearance. That is to suppress one's anger.
Right.
When a person suppresses their anger, then they are being forbearant. And subhanAllah, that reminds me of a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in those reviews of Madani Channel, the message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that amongst you, the strongest is the one who controls his anger. When he's full with that rage. And the most tolerant is the one who, despite having power, he forgives. And in another narration as well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, desire respect and piety from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the companions, alayhi wa ridwan, they asked that, how do we do this? And it was said that those who break ties with you have a kind relationship with them.
Subhanallah.
And those who deprive you, bestow upon them.
Allah.
And those who treat you ignorantly, adopt tolerance towards them. Subhanallah. And Munasab, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned something so beautiful. He says that knowledge is obtained by gaining it. And forbearance is developed by the virtue of tolerance. And the one who tries to attain goodness is given goodness, and one who wants to be saved from evil is saved. You see that forbearance and tolerance, they go hand in hand together.
Yes, they do.
If a person wants to have forbearance, then the root is to first have tolerance. When that is there, then a person can be forbearant.
Yes.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
In fact, you know, there's a mentality that has been created in a segment of people's minds, many people out there, that if I do not react, if I do not defend myself, if I do not flex my muscles, if I don't, you know, do something back, it makes me look weak. But in reality, as they say, the best answer to a fool is silence.
100%.
Because the foolish person, the ignorant person, what he wants, why he's saying these bad things about you? Why he's typing on social media? Because he wants a reaction from you.
Yes.
That will, you know, give him that dopamine rush, that hit, like, you know, I got him. See how he's responding. And if you don't respond, you don't give him that joy and that pleasure. This is why they say the best answer to a foolish person is silence. And in the era that we are living in, like me, and I see one person in particular that is following in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam when it comes to things like forbearance and tolerance. Amir Ahl-Sunnah
Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
You will find, you may even see so filthy, dirty things by dirty-minded people. Filthy people. Their minds are dirty and impure. Their hearts are unclean.
Yeah.
And they say things, they do things, they put memes and these kind of things against Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damul Barakatumul Aliyah. But look at his reply. Look at the response he gives. He says that if I have to reply to each person, who's going to do the deeni work? Because I'll be caught up in that
Allah
thing. I'll be so caught up there in replying to each one
Subhanallah.
That the work will get left and life is too short. And that message is for you and I also. I won't forget, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, we were sitting at one place, at an Islamic brother's house, and our beloved Nigrani Shura Mulana Haji Imran Tadi Sahib was there as well. And a brother posed a question that Haji Saab, if somebody says something negative about Ameerah Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al Aliyah to us, how should we reply? And believe me,
not an important question.
His answer was one word, Huzur.
Gee.
His answer was one word, and then he moved on to the next question.
Allahu Akbar.
What he said? Sabr. That's all. That's what his answer.
Subhanallah.
Have patience. And he moved on. And that, if we can learn that, because patience is also linked to tolerance.
Yes.
Tolerance is linked to forbearance.
They're all interlinked with each other.
They're connected together. Because if you don't have patience, how can you bear difficulties? How can you bear the problems that people give you?
Right.
And whatever calamities are there in your life. So forbearance is not only against difficult people, but difficult situations and circumstances. So that's where your patience is going to come in. And there's many benefits of developing your forbearance. It teaches you something very beautiful. It's called resilience.
Resilience.
The ability to bounce back. Like a spring.
Gee.
You try to hold it tight down.
It'll,
as soon as you leave it, it's gone.
Spring up.
Yeah. So, you know, your ability to bounce back that, you know, no matter what enters, negativity comes into my life. No matter what negative person that I face, I'll bear the difficulties and I'll move on. I'll always have a positive mind. Like the incident where, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, one day Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al Aliyah is traveling somewhere on the roadside with some of the Islamic brothers, his Murideen, and a youngster is waiting in line to buy a movie ticket by the cinema. And he screams out, Mawlana Sahab, come join me and watch this movie.
Allah Akbar.
Amir Ahl Sunnah came to him, didn't scold him, didn't shout. Look at his patience, his tolerance. Right. Because he's trying to mock and taunt Amir Ahl Sunnah in public. Subhanallah. So in a nice way, with a smile, he said, you gave me an invitation. I don't do these things. I want to give you an invitation. And he invited him to the weekly Sunnah Inspired Ijtima of Dawat Islam.
Subhanallah.
And subhanallah, many years later, a young man with a lovely beard, Imam Sharif, came to meet Amir Sunnah and says, do you recognize me? I'm that young man.
Subhanallah.
I was waiting in the queue and I called you. And your attitude and your ability, you know, your tolerance that you have, the invitation you gave, I came for the ijtimas and my life changed.
Subhanallah.
So sweet words, politeness, gentleness, these things, you know, will conquer people's hearts.
Subhanallah. So, you know, that is actually so inspiring that it actually encourages a person, it motivates a person to take lessons from all of this and for them to implement for forbearance in their life, for them to implement sabr and tolerance in their life. And that actually reminds me an incident in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where this incident, Muasab, it shows the level of forbearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Unmatched.
Totally unmatched. In the early days of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to a certain place called Taif. And he went there, they were different tribes, and then three brothers. He went to one of the house of these three brothers.
Right.
And he invited him to Islam, but they did not accept and they did not embrace Islam. Now, not embracing Islam and saying no is one thing, it's their own choice.
Right.
But they went beyond that, Musa. And they told the people of Tyre, the children, that you know what? Take stones in your hand and throw it at this individual who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who is accompanying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala. He was accompanying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as they are walking, these people of Taif, they are stoning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that he was badly wounded. He was bleeding. Sayyidina Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is using his body as a shield for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also got wounds. He was also bleeding. Now at this point, Muhasab, it is a lengthy waqiyah, but at this point, if you have to like stop on this point,
right,
we see that these people, they picked up stones and they threw it at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could have picked up a stone as well. He did the same to them. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do Nothing of that sort whatsoever. And as they are walking, they reached a place called Qarnu Salib. They reached this place, and when they reached there, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when I raised my head, I saw a cloud with its shadow over me. And Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he called out to me from the cloud and said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard the saying and answer of your nation.
Allah.
And now the angels of the mountains is present before you to obey your command. Whatever
Allah,
you say, they will do just that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, after making salam and etc. to the angels of the mountains and whatnot, they said that, Ya Rasulullah, Messenger of Allah, the two angels of the mountains, they saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if you wish and if you want me to overturn these two mountains, these two mountains were Mount Abu Qubais and Mount Qu'aiqu'an.
Allah.
You want me to overturn these two mountains over these unbelievers, I will do so. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard this. But his reply, Murasab, this was so extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
His reply was, no, don't do that. But rather, I have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create such servants, such bondsmen out of their races, out of their lineage, who will only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will not commit shirk.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanahu.
This incident, Murasab, you know, it truly shows us the forbearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein despite, you know, taking that revenge, despite throwing stones back at them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his hand and actually made dua for them in turn. For all the bad that they did to him, he made dua for them.
Right.
You know, and the other thing we see also, Muhasab, is that he was optimistic.
Yes.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was hopeful.
Yes.
That, you know, out of their lineage, out of their progeny, such people would come who would worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and would not be committing shirk. So today, Muhasab, when we...
Let me ask something, right? Hypothetically.
Right.
If somebody were to throw stones at me and I did the same to them, I'm defending myself. I'm justifying.
Right, right.
And that incident was recorded for future generations. That's on one side.
Okay.
On the other side, if somebody was throwing stones on me, towards me, and I didn't react. Instead, I made dua for them. Allah forgive you. Allah change you.
Right.
And that was recorded. Which one has a bigger impact?
The one that you made dua for them.
Yeah, because you're not taking revenge from yourself.
Right.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a mercy now. He chose mercy to show them mercy. Was his mercy to all the universes.
Subhanallah.
He didn't just have the title. He practically displayed it. And part of his mercy is his forbearance, his tolerance, his patience with all the difficulties, with the verbal abuse, with the physical assaults, with the boycotts, with all of those things. He displayed practically and he fulfilled to the, you know, definitely fulfilled whatever responsibility he had as a mercy to all the universes. He practically displayed it.
You know, in one narration also, Masab, you know, this is, you know, the beautiful akhlaq, the beautiful conduct and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that in one narration he says, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ.
Subhanallah.
That I have been sent for the completion of good manners.
Allah.
And this good manners, Masab, we seldomly see nowadays. Whereas we in everyone just wants tit for tat. And if that is not done, as you've mentioned earlier, that if that is not done, then it is considered as a sign of weakness, Masab. You know, if the person doesn't stand up or say something back in retribution to what they said, then the person will, other people would think and society will think that this person is good for nothing. This person is useless, can't even stand up for his own self. He is weak, etc., etc. How does a person who adopts forbearance, right, adopts tolerance after listening to the incidents that happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now a person wants to obviously adopt forbearance in this time and age.
Right.
How does a person, Masab, go about that with all of these talks going around in town? Hey, you weak, You're good for nothing. You're useless. You're this, you're that. You can't even stand up for your own self. How now does this person gain that courage, Mahasa, to continue and not actually break down and then become, you know, hard-hearted and, you know, just end up taking off with everyone? How does he still maintain himself?
Yeah. So if somebody is taunted and mocked and belittled like that, again, they have a choice. They have a choice to get worried, to get stressed out,
right,
to become depressed. And they should worry if those things are true.
If it's true, right.
If it's not true, what you got to worry about?
Subhanallah.
Comes in, take it out, say, other side, finished. Why do you want to live to please the people? I mean, the mindset I need to have as a Muslim, I need to live my life to please my Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala. Right.
Finished. To please my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not to please him, not to please her, not to please society. Then I'm a people pleaser.
Right.
Then I'm not living for myself. I'm living, I'm dressing, I'm behaving, I'm speaking, everything to make the people happy.
So others will become happy because of you, but you yourself will remain sad because
you become sad. Yeah, that hole inside you will grow.
Uh-huh.
You'll reach a point where you'll become depressed.
Mm.
Because you can't keep up with the fashion. You can't keep up with the latest, you know, what's viral and trending out there.
Right.
These are actually shackles. The person then becomes a slave of societal pressures, of fashion, of the ego, of the desires. Become a slave of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Allah.
Make free from all of these things. Why must I worry? Why you want to, that person to live rent-free in your mind? Why? And we see today.
Rent-free.
Rent-free in your mind. He is living nicely,
is so
enjoying himself in your mind.
Right.
You allowing him. Evict him. Kick him out from there. All those negative thoughts, kick it out.
Subhanallah.
Because we see too many people who have intolerance. Yes, there are certain things that as a believer, we're not going to tolerate.
Right.
Like I mentioned, sins.
Yes.
What about oppression?
Can
you tolerate oppression? Injustice, criminal activities, those things you can't do. There's no tolerance for that. Because if there's no justice, you will never have peace. Impossible.
So these are the places where a person should be standing up.
You have to.
And not using, displaying forbearance and intolerance at the wrong places, at the wrong times. It should
if
be
you
done
see wrong things happening, you're going to be happy.
Exactly.
And if you have the ability to change it,
right.
Oh, you know, okay, this is their choice. Let them. If your children are listening to music, you're going to tolerate that?
Not at
if
all.
Your children get involved in premarital relationships, oh, you know, it's their life, you know, let's just tolerate them. Then that person is a foolish person. Foolish. You want to see your child, that's why scholars have mentioned that some parents, they are pushing their kids into the fire and they will fall in after their children.
Allahu Akbar.
Many parents are letting their children down by not doing proper tarbiyah and training according to Islamic values. And then they want to run for a taweez. My child doesn't listen. My child on drugs. My child is going out and coming back late at night, early in the morning. What kind of training did you give? If you did the proper training and this is happening,
right?
I mean, you need to monitor who's the circle of friends, friend circle for your child.
Yes.
And even before that, you need to train their brain what kinds of friends to select. What kind of friend is good for me?
Because even if their circle of friends are not those type of people that are forbearing, that are tolerant, that have patience, then of course that will rub off on him, even though he is good.
Yeah.
And then he will take that back home, thinking that, you know, it's normal for me to blow the roof off.
Yeah.
It's normal for me to act this way because I can't tolerate what if food is not on time. Then for him it's normal not to be tolerant and forbearing at that point.
Absolutely. Same goes with games. What games are they playing? So many of the games are violent. They teach violence.
Right.
And why my child is so violent and always answering back? Those things are training their minds. Under the guise of entertainment, they're training the brain. They're programming people, especially youngsters, how to react, how to behave, how to live their life, how to think.
Under a pretext.
Under the pretense of the entertainment industry, the gaming industry, the sports industry, these movies, dramas, They're programming people's minds. And if a person says, no, I just watch for entertainment purposes, man. Well, guess what? They got you where they want you.
As they say in German, you know, hook, line, and sinker.
Hook, line, and sinker. That's where they want you. Your defense must be down. Okay, just entertainment. They're programming your mind nicely. And you become a slave of that. So tolerance, Allah, forbearance, Allah, we have to build in ourselves. And then this is the kind of environment we need to create in our homes. Right. And that's also the training we have to give to our children, that what you don't tolerate is sinful things.
Right.
You see a wrong, you're able to stop it, you stop it with your hands. Otherwise, your tongue. Otherwise, in your heart, you must know this is no good. So those circumstances, there's no tolerance
100%.
For those things.
100%.
There's no negotiations when it comes to aqeedah. When it comes to
no compromise.
Yeah, there's no compromise. That's the last point.
Yeah.
The boundary is there. No compromise on correct Islamic beliefs.
Yes.
No compromise when it comes to the respect of Sahaba Alim Ridwan. Mm. When it comes to respect of Ahlul Bayt Adhar. When it comes to our Awliya Allah. When it comes to our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is no compromise. Then you go your way, we go our way.
Then at that place, now a person can't be tolerant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it depends on the circumstances. Certain places, yes. Tolerance is exceptional and very good. Certain places, there's no room for tolerance.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Those were really, really beautiful words of wisdom. And I'm sure our views of Madani Channel must have, I'm sure they have definitely taken this, you know, of understanding that where to be tolerant, where not to be tolerant, where to draw the line. You know, there are places for everything. There are times for everything. But yes. on an overall, from a character perspective, with one's personal self, then a person should be forbearant. A person should be tolerant.
Yes.
And this we learn from the beautiful seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we have heard the incident of Ta'if.
Yes.
And also, of course, there are many, many incidents that has happened in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such instances where he showed us how to be patient. He has showed us how to be tolerant. He has showed you and I how to be forbearing. For example, look at the incident when Makkah al-Mukarramah was conquered, and the disbelievers and Shaitan along with their followers, they were so badly humiliated and dishonored. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired from the people of Makkah that, O Quraysh, what do you think how I will treat you? And subhanAllah, they said that nadhunnu khayran. We expect goodness. Goodness from the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, Nabiyun kareemun wa akhun kareemu wa abnu akhin kareemin wa qad qudirta. They said, because you are a prophet, you have a sweet and gentle disposition, and you are the son of our kind and merciful brother. Allah Azza wa Jal has empowered you upon us. And to this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I will say to you the same thing which my brother Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam said to his brothers. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited the verse, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, yaghfirullahu lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin. That there is no reproach on you this day. May Allah forgive you. And He is the utmost merciful of all those who show mercy. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah. This conquest of Makkah.
Subhanallah.
What was the background of this, Mu'asab, regarding the conquest of Makkah?
Well, we all know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his hometown, his homeland, where he was born, was Makkah Sharif.
Right.
And due to the oppressions of the Makkans, the disbelievers, and that was verbal oppression, that was physical assaults, the boycott took place, and many were martyred as well.
Right.
And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with a heavy heart, he and the Sahaba alayhim ridwan, they left. This is their birthplace. They left that and they went to Medina Tayyibah, Zadahallahu sharafu wa ta'zima. Because this was the beginning stages of Islam, you know. And then as Islam is established and growing in Medina Sharif, he returns with thousands of Sahaba alayhim ridwan, thousands of Muslims.
Allahu Akbar.
And by this time, all the famous warriors of the kuffar are all finished.
Right.
They have no power now. They have no, you know, army power, no anything. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And such an incident you will never ever find in the history of humanity. Mm. Never.
Subhanallah.
Because now some of them may be thinking, hey, today is a day of revenge.
Maybe we are gone.
We are gone today. And so as you mentioned what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them, that what my brother Yusuf Alayhi Salaam said. And you know, the amazing thing is, from after Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, mm-hmm. Islam shot up in numbers. Mm. Tribes started becoming Muslims. Neighboring countries were sending their ambassadors, and Islam just started to, it really shot up. It rocketed into the, you know, hundreds of thousands and millions, and it's still continuing today as the fastest growing religion.
So those Munasab who hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who caused trouble and pain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were also there.
Yes, they were present there. And so practically the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed that he is the mercy to all universes. He practically showed his tolerance, his forbearance, that he has the power now. He has the power to enact revenge. But what he does, go, you are free.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. His family, his friends, his close ones, his sahaba were martyred. And those people who martyred, those people who were involved, those people who supported, those who martyred, you know, at the Battle of Badr, Uhud, etc. They were present. Many of them were present. Mm. And so, you know, they never could expect that, you know, we're just going to be scot-free like that. Mm. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. We need to learn that, because there's too much of intolerance. Leave outside, inside the house.
This is actually, it creates, when a person is tolerant and forbearant, we see that it creates unity. It brings about a sense of love, muhabbah, and unity and understanding also.
Yeah.
And together with all of this, it also brings about this quality of empathy.
Empathy, yes, sympathy. It does.
If
it does.
A person has this forbearance and tolerance, whereas compared to if a person does not have it, then how would he ever know about empathy? How would he ever know or feel pain of other people?
In fact, they say for a relationship, especially between husband and wife, it must be, for example, from the wife's side, it's about 80% giving, 20% receiving. Mm. From the husband's side, 80% giving, 20% receiving.
Subhanallah.
And you know, that kind of relationship will flourish. Overlook small things.
All right.
Trivial, insignificant things.
Just put it one side.
Yeah, leave it, man. If you don't like one thing in your spouse, you will like 10 other things.
Yes.
That's what you focus on, the positive.
Leave the negative one
side. Leave the negative. Yeah, if there's something, you know, against Sharia or something, then no compromise, no tolerance there. Other things, build your tolerance. That's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. And this is how you make the relationship stronger, with that understanding, with compassion. There's a problem nicely, with gentle words, lovely words. Mm. No screaming, shouting, no putting the person down. Mm-hmm. You know, the person will appreciate it. Mm. And you'll see that will be a healthy relationship.
Subhanallah, subhanallah, Muasab. You know, those statements that you have mentioned, Muasab, it's so important for those who want their marriage to be prosperous, who want their marriage to be successful. Of course, all of these traits and characteristics, it must be within a husband and a wife together, so that marriage will flourish, inshallah, and both will be understanding towards each other. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. There is, of course, when it comes to the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, different aspects, there is no end to it, Muasab.
No doubt. You know,
and for now, Muasab, we do have a very beautiful kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, there is still much more to discuss, Muasab. But inshallah, when we do come back after listening to this beautiful kalam, inshallah, then we will go on further with our topic of discussion. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Tere jaya, koi nahi. यही बोले सिरा वाले चमने जहां के थाले सभी मैंने छान डाले तेरे पाए का ना पाया तेरे पाए का ना पाया। तुझे यक ने यक बनाया, तुझे यक ने यक बनाया, तुझे यक ने यक बनाया, तेरे खुल्क को हक ने अजीम कहा, तेरी खिल्क को हक ने जमील किया, कोई तुझसा हुआ है न होगा शहा, तेरे खालिके हुस्नो अदा की कसम, अदा की कसम, अदा की कसम।
दुनिया पे आया कोई तेरी ना मिसाल, दुनिया पे आया कोई तेरी ना मिसाल, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा।
मक्के रहण वाले मदीने जान वाले, मक्के रहण वाले मदीने जान वाले, ठुड्डे खान वाले नू सीने लान वाले, ठुड्डे खान वाले नू सीने लान वाले, तेरे बाजों डिगे आनू कोई नहीं संभालदा, तेरे बाजों डिगे आनू कोई नहीं संभालदा,
लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा,
सोना तेरे नाल दा। अब मेरी निगाहों में जचता नहीं कोई जैसे मेरे सरकार हैं, ऐसा नहीं कोई, तेरिया ते सिफतां दा कोई भी हिसाब नहीं, तेरिया ते सिफतां दा कोई भी हिसाब नहीं, तू ते किथे तेरिया गुलामां दा जवाब नहीं, तू ते किथे तेरिया गुलामां दा जवाब नहीं, होरां नू तू रूप वंडे हबशी बिलाल दा, होरां नू तू रूप वंडे हबशी बिलाल दा,
लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा,
चेहरा तेरा नूर वंडे सारी कायनात नू, रब भी दुरूद भेजे इक तेरी जात नू, चेहरा तेरा नूर वंडे सारी कायनात नू, चेहरा तेरा नूर वंडे सारी कायनात नू, रब भी दुरूद भेजे इक तेरी जात नू, रब भी दुरूद भेजे इक तेरी जात नू, शैदाए जमाना तेरे हुस्नो जमाल दा, शैदाए जमाना तेरे हुस्नो जमाल दा,
लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा,
इशारे से चांद चीर दिया, छुपे हुए खुर को फेर लिया, गए हुए दिल को असर किया, ये ताबो तवा तुम्हारे लिए, करके दुआ सोना सूरज नू मोड़ दा, करके दुआ सोना सूरज नू मोड़ दा, आपे चन तोड़ दा ते आपे चन जोड़ दा, आपे चन तोड़ दा ते आपे चन जोड़ दा, बिगड़ी बनावे मेरे नबी दा इशारा, हाँ बिगड़ी बनावे मेरे नबी दा इशारा,
लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों सोना तेरे नाल दा,
कहंदी ऐ हलीमा मुख वेख लजपाल दा, कहंदी ऐ हलीमा मुख वेख लजपाल दा, लब के ले आवां कित्थों ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਚੌਦਵੀਂ ਦਾ ਚੰਨ ਨਾਲੇ ਅਰਸ਼ਾਂ ਦਾ ਤਾਰਾ ਚੌਦਵੀਂ ਦਾ ਚੰਨ ਨਾਲੇ ਅਰਸ਼ਾਂ ਦਾ ਤਾਰਾ ਕਸਮ ਖੁਦਾ ਦੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸਭ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਪਿਆਰਾ ਕਸਮ ਖੁਦਾ ਦੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਸਭ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਪਿਆਰਾ ਹੋਕਾ ਦੇਵਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਮੈਂ ਸੱਚਿਆਂ ਪਿਆਰਾ ਦਾ ਹੋਕਾ ਦੇਵਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਮੈਂ ਸੱਚਿਆਂ ਪਿਆਰਾ ਦਾ ਜਿਉਂਦਾ ਏ ਜ਼ਹੂਰੀ ਨਾ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਤੇਰੇ ਯਾਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਜਿਉਂਦਾ ਏ ਜ਼ਹੂਰੀ ਨਾ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਤੇਰੇ ਯਾਰਾਂ ਦਾ ਮੰਗਤਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਦਰ ਤੇਰੀ ਆਲ ਦਾ ਹਾਂ ਮੰਗਤਾ ਮੈਂ ਤੇਰਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਦਰ ਤੇਰੀ ਆਲ ਦਾ
ਰੱਬ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਆਕਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਕੋਈ ਤੇਰੀ ਨਾ ਮਿਸਾਲ ਦਾ ਦੁਨੀਆ ਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਕੋਈ ਤੇਰੀ ਨਾ ਮਿਸਾਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ ਲੱਭ ਕੇ ਲੈ ਆਵਾਂ ਕਿਥੋਂ ਸੋਹਣਾ ਤੇਰੇ ਨਾਲ ਦਾ
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحان الله سبحان الله a truly rejuvenating heartwarming kalam in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by our beloved Rukni Shura Haji Abdul Habib Attari hafizahullah ta'ala may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our love for the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam amin ya rabbal alamin alhamdulillah coming back to our topic of discussion in which we are discussing the forbearance of our beloved prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam MashaAllah, we have mentioned some incidents pertaining to the forbearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muwassab has also shed much light on this as well. And now to go forward, we will look at some different incidents from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he showed us how to display forbearance. You know, once during a journey, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asleep. Meanwhile, a person by the name of Ghawrath bin Harith, he grabbed his sword and took it out to assassinate the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up, then Ghawrath asked, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will save you from me? And what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, Allah azza wa jal will save me. And upon hearing the prophetic voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he became stunned. And the sword that he was holding, it dropped from his hand. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took the sword and he asked him, now who will save you from me? And subhanallah, Ghawrath, he begged for his life to be spared. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave him and let him go. When Ghawrath returned to his tribe, do you know what he said? What he told them? He told them that he had returned from a person who is the best of all mankind. Subhanallah. This shows us, you know, the level of forbearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even someone came to assassinate him, yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgave him and let him go. Allahu Akbar. So, Muasab, this is a question, right, that perhaps someone may want to know, that okay, we have heard regarding the excellences of forbearance. Okay, yeah. We have heard regarding the forbearance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the greatest of all motivation.
Absolutely.
But what are a few ways that a person can adopt to have a forbearance in their life now?
So very quickly, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include you amongst those who are tolerant.
Right.
Furthermore, read over the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the pious people on how to develop tolerance.
Right.
Look at the medical harms of being intolerant. And like this, surround yourself with positive and good people. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you'll see all these positive benefits.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, Subhanallah. So take all of those views of Madani Channel, and from today, from this moment, implement forbearance, tolerance, and sabr in your life, inshallah. Until next time, stay wise, stay kind, and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Marhaban ya Mustafa, the grand arrival of Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The grand arrival of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marhaban ya Mustafa.